About when was this symposium?
Let's see. Gee, I don't really remember exactly. 1954, 55, someplace in there. It was very early. And our chief advantage was that the alloy transistor method of making things was relatively simple compared to some of the grown junction techniques. And one of our greatest sources of pleasure was to have Bill Shockley here and have him put together a transistor by the alloy technique. And his comment that this was the first time he had really made a transistor, and he was very happy to do so. He, of course, had always had someone else in the laboratories making the transistors with very elaborate machines. And in this system that we had, was relatively straightforward. One took germanium, everything was germanium in those days, put a dot of indium on one side and heated it, and it dissolved some of this germanium. And then when one cooled, it refroze, and the germanium would regrow as a single crystal with the indium doping there. And we were lucky that many things were in our favor, especially the metallurgy of the system. We didn't know why until quite a few years later, and lots more work to know exactly why that was a good system, but it just happened to be that we choose the right one. The indium, of course, was self-annealing, which means there were no strains introduced into the junction. We didn't know that was important at the time, but we were lucky. The indium didn't oxidize very easily, and germanium oxide could be removed rather easily, so the transistors worked. Well, one of the main things, of course, in those days was to make a transistor that would work in radios. And Ed Harold and Doc Wolf, who were running the laboratories in those days, decided that an important part that RCA had to do was to get a transistor in the high-frequency region. A high frequency at that time was anything above the audio range. No transistors had been made in any quantities that would operate at the IF frequency for radios, 455 kilocycles. So a project was set up, a team was constructed that would try to make the transistors in a way that could be done at the factory. And people came down from our factory, which was then at Harrison, to the laboratories. And a group from here was organized, which I led to try to make this transistor. We had already made some radios and some transistors here. In fact, Larry Barton and myself went around, gave talks at the Philadelphia IEEE and the New York IEEE on portable transistor radios and on the making of the transistors that went into these radios. So the idea was to make something that could be made and in the manufacturing plant. This was very difficult at this time, and the main reason it was difficult were that there were several ways of making transistors. Especially the Bell Laboratories had just announced the transistor tetrode, which is a grown junction transistor, was considerably more complex, but it worked very well at high frequencies. And the question was, should this one be the one we chose to make, or should we try to make the alloy transistor? Well, after a great deal of discussion, one could hardly call it analysis at that time, we decided on the alloy transistor mainly because of the ease with which the various manipulations of making the transistor could be done. And it looked to us as if it was something that could be made in large quantities. Now, the interesting thing about a new device, especially one so completely new as a transistor is that the manufacturing people, of course, do not welcome this type of intrusion into their business easily. Their job is to get out production in something that is new and untried and which they think may not succeed. It's not something that they welcome with open arms. And you have to sell it to them and work very patiently with them until they become interested enough to make it their own project. Now, there were no tools for measuring, no tools for manufacturing, and no know-how of how this should be done. So everything was from scratch, and this is, of course, what made it interesting. I can perhaps describe some of the things that we did, which are almost laughable by the present standards of technology, but in those days were things that we could put together to make reasonable quantities in a hurry. And this was one of the jobs, to make enough so that people could evaluate them and decide whether the transistor was really going to fulfill a need for, say, portable radios.